Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Love and Respect, The Love She Most Desires. The Respect He Desperately Needs by Emerson Eggerichs is a Christian marriage self-help book first published in 2004. It is built around a simple but influential premise: wives tend to need love most deeply, while husbands tend to need respect most deeply. Using biblical interpretation, especially Ephesians 5:33, along with counseling experience and relationship examples, Eggerichs argues that many marital conflicts are driven by a recurring mismatch in how spouses communicate care. The book is less a conventional relationship theory than a practical framework for changing interaction patterns with memorable labels such as the crazy cycle, the energizing cycle, and the rewarded cycle. Its purpose is to help couples understand why small frustrations can become escalating conflict and how deliberate responses can interrupt that pattern. Because of its faith-based orientation, the book is especially relevant to Christian readers, though it has also drawn significant criticism for its gender assumptions and treatment of sensitive issues. I will give you key takeaways from this book. First, the book centers marriage on two different emotional priorities: love for wives and respect for husbands. The book's central claim is that marital conflict becomes easier to understand when spouses recognize that they often hear the same situation through different emotional filters. Eggerichs argues that women are typically more sensitive to feeling unloved, while men are typically more sensitive to feeling disrespected. This is not presented as a casual preference, but as the core relational pattern that explains why partners can misread each other so quickly. The practical value of the idea is that it gives couples a diagnostic lens instead of assuming the other person is simply selfish, cold, or irrational. They are encouraged to ask what deeper need is being triggered. That framing helps explain why a wife may interpret silence as emotional distance, while a husband may interpret criticism as contempt. Even readers who do not accept the gender generalization fully can see why the model resonated widely. It offers a memorable way to describe the emotional asymmetry that often appears in conflict. The book's strength is its simplicity, though that same simplicity is also the source of many objections. Secondly, the crazy cycle explains how unmet needs can intensify conflict instead of solving it. One of the book's most recognizable ideas is the crazy cycle, the negative feedback loop that Eggerichs uses to describe escalating marital conflict. In this model, a husband who feels disrespected tends to respond without love, and a wife who feels unloved tends to respond without respect. The result is a self-reinforcing cycle in which each spouse's reaction confirms the other's fear. The concept matters because it shifts attention away from who started the argument and toward the pattern that keeps it alive. Rather than treating conflict as isolated incidents, the book presents it as a relational system that can be triggered by tone, silence, criticism, or defensiveness. That makes the idea useful in counseling contexts, since it encourages couples to stop chasing the last offense and instead address the loop itself. The book's repeated emphasis is that the cycle can be broken only when someone chooses a response that does not simply mirror the other person's behavior. This framework gives the book much of its practical memorability, since couples can easily recognize the pattern in everyday disagreements. Thirdly, the energizing cycle and rewarded cycle shift responsibility toward deliberate, unconditional responses. Eggerichs does not stop at diagnosing conflict. He also proposes ways to reverse it. The energizing cycle describes what happens when one spouse offers love or respect first, creating a positive response in the other partner. The rewarded cycle goes further by stressing personal responsibility. A spouse should act rightly, even if the other person is not immediately reciprocating. This is an important part of the book's logic because it prevents the model from becoming a simple trading system where affection or courtesy is withheld until earned. In practice, the book encourages couples to think in terms of initiative, not retaliation. A husband is urged to show love in ways that make his wife feel secure, while a wife is urged to show respect in ways that make her husband feel valued. This is one reason the book has been popular in churches and small groups. It supplies concrete behavioral guidance, not just theory. At the same time, critics argue that the idea of unconditional respect can be misused if it discourages accountability, especially in unhealthy or abusive relationships. That tension is central to how the book is received. Fourthly, biblical interpretation gives the book its authority and also shapes its limitations. The book is explicitly grounded in Christian teaching, especially Ephesians 5:33, and it presents its marriage advice as an application of biblical wisdom. This matters because the book is not trying to be a neutral secular relationship manual. It is arguing that scripture reveals a pattern for male-female marriage roles and communication. For many readers, that religious foundation is the book's main appeal, since it connects marital practice to familiar doctrine and pastoral counseling. Eggerichs also uses a large number of biblical references and frames marriage as a spiritual as well as emotional relationship. However, the same interpretive approach is a major source of criticism. Some readers argue that the book reads scripture through a rigid gender lens and elevates one spouse's needs in a way that can become hierarchical. Others object that biblical language is used to discourage confrontation or minimize harmful behavior. As a result, the book's authority depends heavily on whether the reader accepts its reading of scripture. That makes it especially influential inside evangelical circles, while also limiting its persuasiveness for readers who want a more psychologically balanced or less gendered account of marriage. Lastly, its practical marriage advice is memorable, but its gender model has drawn sustained controversy beyond its theological claims. Love and Respect became widely known because it translates relationship conflict into easy-to-remember concepts and concrete habits. Readers often value that clarity. The book offers language for identifying patterns, reminds couples not to escalate defensiveness, and encourages intentional acts that communicate care. This practical structure helps explain why it has remained a bestseller and a staple in Christian marriage ministries. Yet the book is also one of the most disputed works in its category. Critics have argued that its gender framework is too rigid, that it underestimates individuality, and that it can be harmful when applied to abuse, coercion, or emotionally unhealthy marriages. Others object to its treatment of sex, silence, and confrontation, saying it can pressure women to remain passive and can frame male behavior as more fragile than female experience. These criticisms do not erase the book's usefulness for readers who want a simple marital tool, but they do define its place in the field. It is best understood as a highly influential, distinctly evangelical marriage book that is both admired for its clarity and questioned for the assumptions behind that clarity. In conclusion, Love and Respect will appeal most to Christian couples, premarital readers, pastors, counselors, and small groups looking for a compact framework for understanding marital conflict. Its main benefit is conceptual clarity. It gives readers a language for recognizing patterns of criticism, withdrawal, misunderstanding, and escalation, and it encourages deliberate behavior instead of reactive conflict. Compared with many marriage books that rely on broad advice about communication or compatibility, this one is distinctive because it reduces relational tension to a memorable model built around love, respect, and recurring cycles. That makes it easy to discuss, teach, and apply in group settings. At the same time, readers should approach it with discernment. Its value is greatest when used as a conversation starter and practical reflection tool, not as a universal explanation for all marriages. What sets it apart in its genre is the combination of biblical framing, simple framework design, and widespread cultural influence. Few marriage books are as widely recognized, as easy to summarize, or as controversial. For readers inside its intended faith context, it remains a significant and often useful guide to marital self-examination, even when its assumptions are debated. If you would like to support Emerson Eggerichs, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description.